You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This week's podcast is looking at what teams have done in the offseason now that we are just days away from the beginning of spring training with pitchers and catchers reporting. I am Allison Footer, and I'm here with Joe Fusaro, who covers the Marlins. And Joe, I'm like, every time I look at what the Marlins have done, I continue to think that things are looking pretty good for these guys. So I'm going to state the obvious here, but I want to ask you, what stands out to you as the biggest offseason move that they made before heading to spring training?
Well, yeah, it'll be Wei-Yin Chen, you know, the free agent signing they got from Baltimore, you know, addressed the top priority of the number, you know, top of the rotation caliber starter guy behind Jose Fernandez. And, you know, that's the kind of the obvious one because they said going into the offseason they're looking to address that type of need. But, you know, another thing that kind of stood out was their patience. You know, this has been kind of a organization that gets emotionally attached to something and reacts quickly, but they showed a lot of patience. They didn't sign Chen until after the first of the year in January, and they just kind of waited to mark it out. They kind of had a very measured, calculated plan to not, you know, go too overboard on anything. They had their eye on the target of you know, they really targeted Allison two starters because they weren't going to be in on Greinke or Price or those type of guys. They really targeted John Lackey and Wei-Yin Chen. Those were the two guys they looked at, and they felt they made a really competitive offer to Lackey, who obviously right in the heels of the start of the winter meetings in December opted to go to Chicago. Once he came off the board, Chen was their main guy, and this is, shouldn't get lost. You know, Chen came into the market looking at about $20 million a year, you know, whether it's 5 years, 20, getting him right at $100 million. But that's kind of where, you know, his camp was. And Jeffrey Loria wouldn't go there. But when the Marlins were able to get that down to $16 million a year, that's when it happened. And Jeffrey signed off on it. So that was a huge decision to go into the $80 million range to get a guy of the caliber of Wei-Yin Chen to help, you know, solidify the top of that rotation.
Yeah, and that's the luxury that teams that already have that ace have. So when you just sign a Wei-Yin Chen on a team that desperately needs some kind of veteran presence or star power or, you know, somebody who can absorb all those innings, that's one thing. But when you can slide in, like I'm thinking of the Giants also, where they have Madison Bumgarner, and then right below that, now they've got Samardzija and Johnny Cueto, and that's when it makes it kind of exciting. When you can look at a depth chart, you can see an order, and you can see Jose Fernandez at the top, and then Chen goes in there, and then you're thinking, well, now that this could be pretty interesting, because the rest of the rotation kind of, I mean, they've got some good names in there, and things sort of have a way of working themselves out. They seem to have a little bit of depth also, some reinforcements. That's when you really start thinking, they might have something going on here.
Yeah, because you could go into a short series, especially in the NL East, where the Mets can throw DeGrom Harvey or Harvey DeGrom, whatever they want to do, or even Syndergaard, and you feel you can match up at least those first two games, you know. And in a short series, you know, that matters. And I'm a big believer, if you're slotted right, you know, if you're a five but have to pitch two, you know, you're not really in your comfort zone. If that as you noted, that helps Cole or Cozart, whoever kind of wins that number three battle, allows them to settle in without being pushed into the number two spot or number, you know, 1B if Jose has to be held back a start because of an innings limit. You know, you kind of put people in positions best to succeed. So, yeah, that was a really big signing for him, for the team to get him, because they were really identified. Plus, he's a left-hander. This has been a rotation that's been predominantly right-handed for a long time. You know, and you get a guy who's a 200-inning guy who pitched to a low 3 ERA in the American League East and pitched in Baltimore, a hitter's park, and still was able to get those kind of numbers. There's a lot of positives there. But, you know, that was one of those that kind of quietly, you know, stayed in on him. I think we addressed this before. I'm still a little shocked that no one else was as heavily in on him. Maybe they had their reasons, and maybe they just did a really good sales job, too. But they got their guy, and kind of that was the feather of their offseason.
So looking kind of around the field a little bit, and the Marlins have a nice core of players to build around, and they made some savvy signings that did not jump off the pages or whatever we call that in the internet world, but certainly guys that will have a lot to offer or something to offer. Edward Jackson, Chris Johnson, third base. So those are sort of some of the more minor signings that could also impact a team. And how do you kind of see those two?
Yeah, first of all, with Chris Johnson, it was a good signing for them. They were looking for that right-handed bat, the guy that could play first base in a platoon-type situation with Justin Bour, if Bour, you know, shows he can't hit left-handed pitching. And, you know, they were looking at Jeff Francoeur and why they went with Chris Johnson is he has played some first base. He also gives him the luxury to go over and play some third base because Martin Prado is going to need some rest. You know, he's a highly productive player, but his playing time's got to kind of be monitored, and they got to, you know, to get best use out of him. So, you know, getting Chris Johnson, real valuable pickup there to get that, you know, right-handed bat off the bench, platoon guy at first, hit guy, a guy who's posted some good numbers. Obviously, I think he hits like .315 against left-handed pitching, so I'm sure that's, you know, going to be his forte, getting in there as often as possible against lefties. And that was just a good, solid pickup for him. And you mentioned Edwin Jackson. You know, the new Marlins pitching vice president of pitching development, Jim Benedict, who they got from the Pirates in the offseason, he had really had his eye on Edwin Jackson for a while. He liked him. He liked, you know, seeing, you know, what he thought Edwin had done in other parts of his career. And when the possibility came to get Edwin Jackson, it was at Jim Benedict's recommendation that this deal get done. And now it's going to be real curious to see what Jim can do to, you know, working with Edwin to refine a few things. And that could be a real find for him. Obviously, there's a big if there, and will it happen? We don't know. But low-risk, high-reward, capable of possible signing there. And he's going to be a guy that will be in that mix for the fourth and fifth starter spot as well.
So continuing on with the theme of Captain Obvious, they need Giancarlo Stanton and Jose Fernandez to be healthy all year. As far as any other questions, I guess Jared Cozart, that was kind of a lost season for him last year, right? But it was kind of these sort of random, not so much like arm problems. So I guess this would be sort of the defining time for him.
Oh, no question. You know, they got him from Houston, gave up a lot for him. You know, they gave up Mariznick and Colin Moran, who was one of their top prospects at the time, a high first-round draft pick. You know, they got them to bring in Cozart, who showed a lot of potential in the second half of that 2014 season. But in 15, it was a complete disaster for him. He was dealing with vertigo, and which eventually was diagnosed as an inner ear infection, that affected his ability on the mound. And he kind of got it together late in the year. In the final few starts, he started looking a lot better. From what I understand, he is fully healthy now, feels great, had a really strong offseason program back home in Texas, and is a guy that, you know, he has an upper 90-mile-an-hour fastball. And if he, you know, he gets that command going and can miss a few more bats with something that was a knock on him, you know, earlier in his career with Houston, he does that, he could be a real surprise and a real, you know, interesting guy to make that rotation. That'd be a big power arm if he could come along and be the pitcher that they thought he could be. I mean, the guy is yet else in to reach arbitration. So, you know, they got 4 years to work with him to see what this guy could be. I think he's 25 years old. So, you know, they feel they got a lot of upside there, and, you know, they're hoping that starts to come to fruition this season.
Do you think there's any holes remaining just going into spring training? Do you think there's anything that they didn't address that maybe they should have, or do you think they're pretty well set?
I still think that they could get a non-roster invitee-type starting pitcher. I think we mentioned the Kyle Loesches or the Alfredo Simons, they're still out there. But if they're looking for guaranteed money, that probably won't happen. But if something tells me that until those guys come off the board, I think they could do that to add even more starting pitching depth. But, you know, this roster's pretty much set.
Okay. Okay. Next time I talk to you, you'll be actually watching actual baseball players doing baseball things. So that'll be very exciting. So, Joe,
yeah, I
thank
think
you
we
so
all
much.
Can't wait, Allison.
We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Okay. Take care.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.